Last week, as requested, we tried to provide perspective, halachic perspective, on the hostage deal. Over the course of the week, there were several questions for requesting clarification on certain points. So perhaps we'll review some, not all, of what we discussed and try to elaborate some, not all, of the points that we discussed last week. We spoke of the fact that halacha prioritizes pikuach nefesh of the rabbim over pikuach nefesh of yechidim. And again, with the obvious implications that has for prioritizing the elimination of Hamas Yimach Shemam. The truth is, I'm not sure that one really needs to cite chapter and verse on that. That one prioritizes pikuach nefesh of the rabbim over pikuach nefesh of yechidim. It's very compelling, very intuitive. But just to mention one or two again, as Rosh HaPrakim. Now is not the time for a full blown, in depth analysis. But one or two Marim Makomos. Reflecting that din kedima, that prioritization of pikuach nefesh of rabbim, of pikuach nefesh of a yochid. The Rambam writes the first part of what we're reading. He's quoting from a Gemara in Erevin, and then he adds, Rambam writes in Perik Beis of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Chaf Gimel. Goyim shatzaru al ayoros Yisrael. You have a city, a Jewish city, and our enemies come and they lay siege to the city. B'chol mokom, I'm skipping a few lines. Im bo'u al iskei nefoshos, o sha'orchu melchoma. If it's clear that they came with murderous intent, they're waging war, Oshatsaru Stam, Yotzin Alein Bekle Zayin, Umachalin Alein Sashavas. So you go out with weapons, armed, and clearly this is a situation to Kuach Nefesh, and Machalin Alein Sashavas as needed. And then the Rambam continues, Umitzvah Al Kol Yisrael Sheyacholin Lovol. It's incumbent upon everyone, umitzvah al kol Yisrael, incumbent upon everyone, sheyecholin lovo, lots who are positioned and able to come. The mitzvah is incumbent upon them, lotzeis velazo la'acheim shemamotzer, to come to the help of their brethren who are subject to this siege. Ulahatsila miyad hagoyim b'shabbos. Now, l'chore, it's clear that anyone who's coming to assist when you have an Ir Yisrael that is surrounded by our sonim with murderous intent, that they're putting themselves in danger. That this is fraught with danger. The coming to their rescue obviously is fraught with danger. Now there is a Yerushalmi that I think that goes by Munoz quotes, where the Yerushalmi says that a person is obligated to expose himself to suffix sakana. To save someone else who's in Vaday Sakana. So let's say at a time of, I don't know, of an epidemic or something, Rachman Litzlan. So in treating, if no one treats the patient who's already sick, is a vade sakana. In being exposed to the patient, so there's a suffix sakana. So the Yerushalmi says that a person is obligated to expose himself to suffix sakana to save someone who's in vade sakana. This Yerushalmi doesn't appear in the Rambam, doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. The many Gedolei Achronim, amongst them the Sma, in Choshen Mishpat, say that the Rambam thinks that the Bavli doesn't agree with this Yerushalmi and doesn't pass like the Yerushalmi. And that the Rambam is of the opinion that one is not obligated to expose himself the suffix sakana to save his friend who's in vadeh sakana. So what's happening over here? How can it be mitzvah kol Yisrael? You have to go. So clearly, because the Yerushalmi is talking about a case of pikuach nefesh of a yachid, and this is pikuach nefesh of the klal. This is pikuach nefesh of rabbin. Again, this we're giving Rosh Hashanah. There's a lot to. Another Maran Mokum with Rosh Hashanah. The other perspective, we had seen this in a different context last time. Right? We mentioned that the two halachic issues, one is that halacha prioritizes pikuach nefesh the rabbim over pikuach nefesh the yachid, and two, that the Mishnah says that in podin asashvuy yesa kedei demehen, that one cannot, one is not allowed to pay a disproportionate ransom to redeem a shovel, a captive. So the Gemara has an ibaya, which the Gemara isn't really poshet, as to what the reason is. What's the problem? So we mentioned last week the second possibility the Gemara raises, that it incentivizes the son of Yisrael to take hostages. But the first tzadik Gemara has is Mishum Duchka de Tzibur. Ein lanu litchok ha tzibur lo havio li dea anius b'shvil eila. So there's Duchka de Tzibur. It's just the disproportionate ransom is something which is just too onerous for the tzibur. Now the Ramban comments that every case of shivya, a stam case of shivya, means that the shavu's life is in danger. And afal pichein, the Gemara says that yitachin, the reason is that we have to prioritize not just pikuach nefesh of the rabbin, we have to prioritize the tovas harabim over the pikuach nefesh of a yachid. One last Maran Mokum. The Chazon Ish, he's not Machriya, but the Chazon Ish entertains the possibility. V'yesh la'ayin be'echad ro'ech chetz holech la'arug al-noshim rabim. There's a missile, Rachmana Litzlan, and the trajectory of the missile is such that it's that it's going to impact a heavily populated area. And the person can deflect the trajectory of the missile. And in so doing, he can deflect the missile to a place where there will be just one lone casualty. The Elu Shabbat Zeh, and those who right now are targeted by the current trajectory, the Rabbim who are right now current in the current trajectory of the missile, Elu Shabbat Zeh Yitzolu. V'im lo yaseh klum yehorgu harabim v'ha'echad yishar b'chayim. So here we're not talking about just prioritizing pikuach nefesh of the rabbim over the yachid. The Chazon Ish is entertaining the possibility that this that it should be construed as an act of Hatzolos HaRabim, even though one understands that one is now redirecting the missile towards the Yochid. And he says, Efsha, he's not sure. But Ad Kedei Kach. So again, that's not a question of just prioritizing which is one's first goal, right? The Chaznish is talking about something which is much, much more mechudosh than what we're talking about. We're talking about what is one's primary goal, what is one prioritizes the goal. And the Chaznish says, and maybe in light of that, Ad Kedei Kach, that one would deflect the missile towards the Yochid to save the Rambam. So that's the klal. Again, just as Rosh Hashanah, all of these really need much fuller presentation and discussion. But the klal is that the halacha prioritizes pikuach nefesh of the Rabbin over pikuach nefesh of the Yochid. We spoke about the fact that the unspeakably indescribably painful plight of the hostages and their families. Families are also living through a Gehenna, a different type of Gehenna than the hostages, but certainly a type of Gehenna on earth. Makes it difficult to retain clarity on the halachic priorities of Pikuach Nefesh of Rabbin and Pikuach Nefesh of Yochid. And here, I think it's Kedai, because this has just virtually endless applications to understand a profound, profound insight of the Rambam. The Rambam says, what happened as a result of the chait of Adam HaRishon? So the Nachash tells Chava that if they'll eat from the tree, v'yisem kelohim, t'lashem chol, Uncle says, k'rav v'vaya, yodei tov ora. So the Rambam was asked, so as a result of chait, Adam was given the capacity to discern the difference between good and bad? Isn't that something very positive, to know the difference between good and bad? How can it be that capacity only came as a result of chait, in the aftermath of chait? So the Rambam answers so profoundly. He says, before Adam stepped out of the world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had originally placed him, Adam HaRishon lived in a world of muskalos. The relevant categories by which things were measured were not Tov and Ra, but were Emes and Sheker. Emes and Sheker are intellectual categories, even more importantly, they're moral categories. Tov and Ra is used for a wide range of things. Vatera Isha ki tov ha'etz l'nachol. Tov and Ra, That was a good steak. Tov and Ra are not categories. Tov and Ra are categories that belong to the subjective, aesthetic, and emotional realm. If you take a math test, the correct assessment of 2 plus 2 equals 4 is that it's a true answer, and that 2 plus 2 equals 5 is that it's a false answer. Not that one's a good answer and one's a bad answer. Initially, before Adam and Chava allowed themselves to be nimshach achar their taivus, so they looked at the world and assessed whether things were emes and sheker, which means they assessed objectively. Then they stepped out of that world when vateva isha ki tov for eitz l'machol. No, she should have looked at mutter osa. Not tovin ra. Does it look delicious? Does it look enticing? She should have looked. Is it mutter or is it osa? But vatera isha ki tova eitz l'machol v'chisav l'inayim. So now we, post chet adam rishon, don't a priori experience everything purely in terms of emes and sheker. We're prone to experiencing things, again, with elements of subjectivity, with elements of emotion, when really it should be an objective determination. It doesn't come totally naturally the way it did to Adam, Kodem HaChet. After the Chet, human nature, as a result of the Chet, human nature changed, and now it's an Avodah. What was natural for Adam before the Chet, to see the world in categories of Emes and Sheker, of Mutter and Osser, now it's an Avodah. Because naturally, we also tend to see things in categories of tov and ra, which are tov eitz l'machal, which are subjective, aesthetic, emotional categories. And it's an avodah. It's a very big avodah, Rav Osa. It's a very big avodah. Everyone has that avodah. We all live in the world, the universe that we inhabit is the post Chet universe. So we all have that avoda and that nisayan as to whether or not we're making judgments based on tov and ra, emotionally, subjectively, or, but if we're talking about right and wrong is not supposed to be determined that way. Right and wrong has to be determined by emes and sheker, but by objective criteria. The implications and applications of this insight of the Rambam are endless, Rav Osa. Endless. What we're talking about is one painful, exceedingly so, illustration, but obviously there are very, very many of them. Towards the end last week, we spoke about the interplay between halachic and political considerations. And I just wanted to elaborate a little bit. Maybe to begin with a moshel about Dovah Domeh. Right? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shvi'is also that when the decision is made whether or not a chola should eat on Yom Kippurim, is ma'achil noso al pi rofe uman mumcha. Apirofe mumcha be'oso mokam. When there's a medical aspect to the shaila, so that has to be assessed by a medical mumcha. It's not that aspect, that dimension of the shaila is not assessed by the Rav, but the input for that, for assessing that aspect of the question, that dimension of the question, has to come from a Rofe Mumcha. Similarly, the Rav was asked, what the halacha's position is on relinquishing territory to achieve peace. And he said that he thought that in halacha one would do that. One would relinquish territory to make peace. But, he said, it requires a military and political assessment whether or not, in fact, they're relinquishing the territories. Is that the mitzvah? And he said, that I can't comment on. I'm not an expert in military affairs. I'm not an expert in political affairs. And ultimately, the halachic framework he provided, that he thought that it was the right thing to do if it would ensure peace. But he said that determination has to be made by people with political and military expertise. And that's what we were talking about last week. We were talking about last week when we spoke at the end about the obvious American pressure which was applied before the Israeli government agreed to, I think it's not editorializing and not to an extremely lopsided deal where hundreds and ultimately thousands of murderers whose hands are dripping Jewish blood, not only Jewish blood, Gentile blood as well, are being released in order to gain the freedom of innocent hostages, innocent men, women, and children. So obviously there was extreme pressure to agree to that deal and to agree to the ceasefire. And what we were saying is that at this point, again, halacha provides the framework that one prioritizes pikuach nefesh of the rabbim over pikuach nefesh of the yochid. And halacha says that in podens hashvuim yesa al kedei demehim. So you have to prioritize national security. Now, whether or not the cost of having said no to that pressure was something which creates a greater national security risk is a political assessment and determination and calibration that needed to be made. And that ultimately will determine what the halacha is. The same way the doctor's input is ultimately, it's based on that the Rav is going to decide whether or not the chola eats in Yom Kippur. It's going to be based on that medical input. So too, the halacha needs the political input. If the cost of not cooperating is deemed to be a greater threat to national security, then in light of that political analysis, So then one is prioritizing, one is still prioritizing the Pirut Nefesh of the Rabbim. And again, so the final word, in terms of what the halakhic perspective is not one that a Rav can pronounce on his own. It's not one that a Rav can unilaterally pronounce, because it requires this political assessment. And that's not his area of expertise. The political assessment is not his area of expertise any more than the medical assessment is in the Shaila Yom Kippur. You know, we spoke about how the Rabbanim, Morei Hora, limit themselves to the halachic aspects and dimensions, and then need the input of, be it medical experts, political or military experts. But you know, it's also true in the reverse. Politicians, some of them may have expertise on political matters, but they certainly have no expertise or even competence on moral matters. And let's just say it's deeply disturbing to hear politicians making forceful pronouncements on moral matters as to what the moral priorities are in the war. They're also obligated to stay within their area of competence. And finally, the last point we spoke about, and here too I was a little bit too makatzer, Malkum Shom Ulhar, Yechenu Rashai Lekatzer, the stage that we're in of this first phase of the what was negotiated, dictated, whatever the right word is, a process is still unfolding. Now, the facticity of the part of the deal that's been implemented until this point, that doesn't change. Right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us the ability to change the facticity of the past. But its significance is very much not yet determined. What in retrospect, in weeks, months, or years, when one looks back on the deal that happened a couple of weeks ago, what that will have led to, what will be the links following that in the chain of events, so that's very much that's still in the future. And because of that, even the significance of the past hasn't been determined. Whether the cooperation with will then yield things which will help ensure security, and advance all the right and noble and true goals, that very much still could be the case. So the facticity of what has happened is final. But ultimately, what counts is what its significance will turn out to be. And that's why there is very much a mokom for tefillah and tshuva to determine, again, not only what happens in the future, but to determine the significance of the past. And that's why our avoda continues to react to this unfolding situation with tshuva, with tefillah.